Maybe you could say in our world today, with the monitoring of reporters and video cameras everywhere, that this sentiment makes some real sense.
I thought the CIA was actually following me and sort of monitoring me. I thought the placement of books and newspapers on tables were efforts to implant information into my brain. I thought my apartment was bugged.
That's the voice of Andrew Gadke, whose slow descent into madness was difficult for him to monitor or understand. Occasionally, he would get hints.
I went and saw a movie called The Beautiful Mind, which is about the genius, the mathematical genius, Nobel Prize winning John Nash and his life with schizophrenia. And I walked out of the theater thinking, wow, his life is sort of like mine, except for he's crazy and I'm sane.
Andrew was a student at Caltech, but his story of becoming a schizophrenic was no Hollywood movie. Brandon Staglin was lucky, you could say. He knew something was wrong with him almost from the beginning, just after his freshman year at Dartmouth.
I was trying to sleep one night, and that's when the break happened. It's as if some part of me disappeared from my awareness at that time. I didn't want to let a new identity enter my right side of my head, which is where I thought that part of me had vanished from.
And so began Brandon Staglin's quest to find out what went wrong in his mind and what he could do to hold on. A long journey, as it turned out, just as it was for this woman named Nev Jones.
I work all the time, so I'm very, very busy, just incredibly busy. And that's it. And so I just don't have time to think about, okay, how strange things look, how chairs are really particles, how people are reading my thoughts, you know. And maybe I have to some extent, you know, learned sort of cognitive strategies for just deflecting those thoughts, for just not going there.
All of these people are diagnosed schizophrenics who were at a conference of schizophrenia researchers in Orlando, Florida last month. WNYC producer Mary Harris attended the conference. She joins me now. Welcome.
Hi.
This was a fascinating sort of window into the onset of schizophrenia and the recovery from schizophrenia, and there's mystery about both.
Absolutely. I mean, one of the most interesting people I met, you heard from at the top there, Nev Jones, she's actually getting her PhD in psychology, and she's studying her own disease. And you can really hear her sort of struggle with what the diagnosis means.
People think that I'm, like, completely recovered or no longer have symptoms. Talk to people all the time who just jump to that assumption just because I'm a successful doctoral student. A lot of the changes that I initially experienced have just really never gone away, never really changed, not gotten more intense, not gotten less intense. This table we're sitting at right now looks completely unreal. My hands don't look like they're mine. Movements are always, they're always disturbing because, you know, my hands will move and I don't think I've done it. You know, it's as if my hands are being moved by somebody else.
My hands don't look like they're mine. Why did you choose schizophrenia as this window on the whole mental illness situation?
Well, I felt like schizophrenia was really kind of a microcosm for everything we don't know about mental illness. And you can hear that when these diagnosed schizophrenics talk about their interactions with their therapists when they were in the process of figuring out what's happening with me.
Because it's not a blood test. You don't go in and get diagnosed all of a sudden as a schizophrenic. It's a journey.
Right. And Andrew Gadke kind of got to that. He went from doctor to doctor looking for a diagnosis. And one of them really struggled with what to call him.
My second psychiatrist wouldn't tell me what it was. And he actually, and this sounds bad to say, but he said, I don't believe you have schizophrenia because if you did, I'd put you on a high dose of antipsychotic medication and write you off as a lost cause.
But of course, he wasn't a lost cause. He recovered and reduced his own meds.
Absolutely. A third of people with schizophrenia, it's now estimated, have some kind of recovery. And another third have a recovery where they can live a kind of normal life. A lot of scientists are really trying to understand how that works now, and they just don't know. There's a scientist in Chicago named Pat Corrigan. He's starting a movement called Coming Out Proud, where the idea is you can come out as a schizophrenic and explain to people your situation so that others aren't as scared of what this diagnosis means, because it's not the end of your story necessarily.
And the fact that schizophrenics can live a life where they're coping with symptoms is heroic for them, but it raises a really important issue for the mental health industry, and that is if we don't know what the treatment is and we don't know what the onset is or even what recovery is, it really speaks directly to the ambiguities in this brand new edition of the DSM, which attempts to define all mental illness. If you can't define schizophrenia, you're in trouble.
Exactly. And, you know, the folks behind the DSM kind of recognize that this is a problem. They've put into this latest edition these dimensions. You can rank someone as more anxious or less anxious, but it's not required. And it's really still vague. You have the National Institute of Mental Health basically calling out the DSM as not a valid tool because it's just not specific enough. And that leaves people like Andrew, people like Nev in this weird in-between place where they just don't know what to call themselves. And they often, their experiences are very different person to person. You know, Nev, her mother was actually schizophrenic as well. And she said, I had moments where I said, I'm not going to take my meds. I don't have what she has. I shouldn't belong in this category. But she does, because there's, it's a giant umbrella term that encapsulates a lot of people.
And people negotiating their own territory on their own. You met some, and I sound sort of clinical for saying this, but high-functioning individuals at this conference.
Exactly. And the most interesting thing to me about all these people was that not only were they able to, some of them, live their lives with the symptoms and just sort of move on in a very high-functioning way, like Nev. But they actually sometimes said it was a kind of blessing. I met a guy named Robin Cunningham. He's actually 70 now. He was diagnosed way back in 1956, and no drugs worked for him. You know, he actually told me at the time there were only two places for someone like him, the state mental ward or the attic. But he had one therapist who helped him see his disease in this new way, and he says it made him a bigger success in life.
The truth of the matter is, every day that I wake up in the morning and I'm not on the back ward of a state mental hospital is a good day for me. Everything else is gravy. That's a very different perspective than most people have. And it's one of the things the doctor taught me, each day is a new day. Don't worry about what you screwed up yesterday. I think of schizophrenia in a sense that it has a very positive impact on my life.
An extraordinary lesson that you're not going to find in the DSM and when it talks about schizophrenia. What was it like interacting with these folks? What did they feel about the researchers who they were at the conference with?
So Nev in particular, she wants to bring actual schizophrenics into the research realm. She doesn't think that those researchers actually understand what she's going through. She says there's not a good language for it, and people don't get it. And people are able to function with this disease, and she thinks they don't really get that either. For Nev, that's definitely true.
For psychiatry, it's important to think of these high-functioning individuals not as outliers, but as a part of the broader sense of what schizophrenia even is.
Exactly.
Mary Harris, WNYC and Takeaway producer, reporter, reporting on schizophrenia and the ambiguities in the mental health world. Thanks so much.
Thanks.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.